the Oaks by 4 lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. Maccabi Never has won it.
Hello and welcome to .com and the Den Mondays. I'm Roger Aldridge. This is Richard Irvin, and that's right, we're next to each other in the same room. Bit different this week, Rich. Usually I'm in my den, you're in the Wolf den. Today we're actually in .com.
.com's den, that's right. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. Are we better or worse for being next to each other? Hopefully better.
We're all still catching our breath after the weekend because what we saw at Moonee Valley was something that will go down in history, not just because it was a Cox Plate win, but the way that Versus Theta won the Cox Plate. It was stunning, and we're going to kick it off. We're going to kick off our Straight Six with her victory.
The Straight Six.
All right, well, I'd like many, Rich, I know yourself included, thought that the Cox Plate would be one of the great races because it wasn't a big field, but it was a quality field. But what we saw, no one could have predicted happening. That was breathtaking.
Yeah, incredible. It's one of arguably the greatest Cox Plate wins ever. Brilliant to be there. I was there. You can see J-Mac going up there. I think you might even get to see a bit of footage of all of us boys from the den cheering it on. So yeah, brilliant, brilliant win. Looking forward to having a good chat about it.
Prior to Jenny, obviously the thought was that she would set a cracking pace up in front, which she did do, but she wasn't bounding along 10, 15 lengths clear. People thought the prognosis might miss the kick and have to make up a mass amount of ground. He ended up sitting sort of just behind her, and I don't know about you, Rich, but I was thinking she wasn't far enough ahead, you know, into that race that she was a winning chance at, say, the 1,000. And then it just ended up panning out perfectly for Versus Theta to
unleash. Listen to J-Mac's comments. He said that they did no work, basically, for the first sort of 1,200 metres. And then when it was time to push the button, away they went. And even as they came around the turn, like Prada Jenny was four wide, he was just sitting back there smoking his pipe. So, and they just put such a pace on and stuff. I heard people talking about like the Peloton effect, that it just sort of got dragged into it so well. And yeah, so
she's done it in track record. She's broken Winx's track record by almost 2 seconds, which is incredible. It's an equal record winning margin of 8 lengths. I mean, there's a bit of recency bias obviously, but by, you know, weights and measures and everything, then there is a legitimate argument that that's the greatest Cox Plate win of all time.
Yeah, we've got a few things to look at. So first one, Mick Hickmont, trainer, he put up something interesting there. So see what he says, that she ran her last 1,000 metres in 57.6. The open sprint was 57.44. Yeah, so as he said, it's just freakish that she nearly won the open sprint. You know, amazing stuff.
Yeah, to run that at the end of 2,000 metres, as he points out, it's incredible. And, you know, you guys at Wolf Den asked the question whether it was the greatest Cox Plate win ever, and 56.8% of people, as we can see there, thought it was. And yeah, people will be going, oh, come on, guys. I mean, what about Winx? But this is what I'm saying. You've got to look
at
the stats.
Winx is irrelevant. We're just talking about the best ever individual performance in a Cox Plate. And I thought about it before I put that up because, you know, it's a big statement. I don't want to embarrass the brand. But
you can do every other week.
It's true. So it's good to have a week where we don't even drum it like that, the editor. Yeah, but anyway, look, generally speaking, and of course, recency bias is going to play a part in this, but the people say that, yes, it was, and then it's kind of been backed up today. We're going to look at Dano's ratings. I don't want to spoil it, but he might...
Well, and not only Dano's ratings, but Ben Ascari pointed out this morning that, you know, when you factor that in and also the speed stuff that Vince Accardi does, that essentially it's that one. It's Winx's second Cox Plate, which wasn't the track record one, but her highest rating bet. And also, I think it was Dulcify.
Yeah,
that's one of the 1979 was the other one. So those are sort of by the numbers, the three bets of all time. So now the big question is, do they run her in the Melbourne Cup? Because if she comes through this race well, not only that means J-Mac gets a ride in the Melbourne Cup, because he won't get a ride unless they run Versus Theta because of how the weights are structured.
He'll be pushing hard.
He's saying, yeah, she'll run 3,200. Don't worry about it.
So, yeah, my mail, she's going to run. That was the mail I sort of got last week. It's no better than racetrack mail, but I think it makes sense that they do run. Obviously, she's got to be fit and she's got to get through the scans and everything, which Racing Victoria do, but I reckon she's going to run, and I think it just adds an incredible element to the Melbourne Cup. The Melbourne Cup that looked mildly boring not long ago has now come together as one of the great Melbourne Cups ever.
Yeah, so it'll be stunning. I mean, I don't know, Yulong don't need the money, obviously, but I'd look at it. I mean, she's got a mortgage on the Champion Stakes if they went in that direction. Her record of 2,000 metres is incredible, but the Melbourne Cup's the Melbourne Cup, and if they genuinely believe that she will get 3,200, which would be amazing because she's by Fastnet Rock. But so is Buckaroo, who's also one of the favourites of the Cup. So Fastnet Rock's having an unbelievable spring.
Yeah.
And he could have two Cup runners, a couple of Derby runners. It's quite incredible. But, yeah, it does set us up for just, you know, the Cup delivers great narrative anyway. And he's another one. He's another chapter. And, you know, Chris Waller knows what he's doing.
And we'll have a look at the Cup market in a second. But a couple of the beaten regrets. The prognosis was good. I think it'll go on to the Champions Stakes.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Makes that race.
Yeah.
Right. Even if Best Stead doesn't go there.
Mm. And the other one, Broadsiding. So Jamie Carr got off and said Broadsiding will win the Cox Plate next year. She thought it was a great run. It's a bit funny. It looked a little bit disinterested early in the race, and then it sort of came home quite well. But, I mean, it just got beaten by So Far. It was quite amazing. But there's talk about Broadsiding going into the Derby.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. I would have loved to have seen it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised it doesn't run the Derby. And this is a stallion prospect with already Group 1 pedigrees, a two-year-old and a three-year-old. I mean, no one wants to breed from a Derby winner. So what's the point of risking your three-year-old out to 2,500 when... Yeah, I think they're much better suited to go in the Champions Stakes.
Yeah, which is probably what they do. It hasn't been completely confirmed. He could even go in the Champions Mile as well, but it'll definitely run on Champions Day.
Yeah, interesting. So if Jamie Carr doesn't ride Broadsiding in next year's Cox Plate, clearly she doesn't think she's on the winner.
Yeah.
Let's move on now. Akita Sushi, Friday night, the Moonee Valley Gold Cup. Now, Jack Turnbull from the Kieran Maher, he's assistant trainer.
Mm.
I don't think it's too long before Jack moves up to be a co-trainer, just quietly. He gave Akita Sushi a massive push on radio last start and placed at 80-1 Friday morning on RSN. He gets on. Oh yeah, he said on the Moonee Valley Gold Cup, get on.
Yeah.
And he is a good judge because this is a really impressive win, Akita Sushi, and it pushes on now to the Melbourne Cup as well. So it's I'm not sure this is the right form.
No, it's got 50 kilos, which shows that it's a lightweight knockout chance. The other runner in that. Braden Starr was very unlucky. Everyone was talking about how unlucky it was. It'll try and go onto the Cup as well if it gets a run.
Yeah.
But we actually had Jack Turnbull in our live stream on Friday night. He's so insightful and, you know, he's going on the top very, very quickly if he's not already at the top. So, but I think Ma will have three runners, Akita Sushi being one of them.
Yeah, he's had a banner spring, obviously, Caulfield Cup and Everest on the same day. We'll see here the Geelong Cup as well.
Yeah, the Geelong Cup.
Traditionally, it's been a good form race for the Melbourne Cup. Not for quite a while now. I mean, famously, we had a media puzzle come out of the Geelong Cup when Damien Oliver and Bauer, I think, ran second in 2008, came out of the Geelong Cup. But this horse, One Smooth Operator, Craig Williams now booked to ride. Willow knows that he's not going to be just jumping on anything to get a ride in the Cup. He will only jump on a legit chance. So that was a dominant win, and I'm not surprised that Willow, because there was talk that Holly Dorn might come out and ride One Smooth Operator, but Willow's in no. I'll take it. So that's a good push for it because, I think that's a dominant win that can set you up well. And going over 3,200, you want that sort of form line coming in.
Mm. So why don't we have a look at the market, because that'll sort of show how much the bookies respected One Smooth Operator. So there's One Smooth Operator in the fourth line of betting. Jan Brugel undefeated, and then you've got the two horses we talked about before, Via Sustina and Buckaroo. I mean, I think that market's going to move around a lot.
Photoman's a value there.
Yeah.
I heard that this morning and I almost pulled over to have a bet at $10 because I don't think you'll be getting $10 of open on the day. And if you do, then I'll be backing it. I'm really keen Bowman in the Cup this year. So, it's setting up as a fascinating Melbourne Cup. As it does, even when you think it's not a good field, it's still a fascinating race. The other big run at the Valley as we move, probably the second most impressive win behind Via Sustainers was Barrakeel.
Yeah, this is exciting. This is really
extraordinary. This is
a year
because this horse had so many injuries. Didn't race until earlier this year. Five.
Was it five?
Six-year-old now, Barrakeel. Yeah. And he pulls this out in a way. It was like he trucked up on the outside, said, "G'day, guys," and then just went, "Wooshka, see you later."
Yeah, no, it was a win of a Group 1 class sprinter, and he'll get his chance to go on to Group 1 now. Haven't confirmed if it's going to be the Champion Sprint next. Could also be the Rupert Clark.
No, it's Champion Sprint.
Locked in?
Pretty much locked and loaded. Okay. Troy Corson's basically said after the race that he's told us that he's ready to tackle a Champion Sprint.
Mm, and that would make the most sense. I don't know why he'd go up to 1,400 when you've just done so well at 1,200. So.
And that, and you sort of, the Champion Sprint, it's going to be a really good race, but he's put himself there as a genuine contender for it.
Mm.
What a story it would be. They basically were going to retire him because he had so many injuries, and a lot of trainers would have said, let's just get rid of it, you know, and the credit to Bennett Racing as well, who have, you know, had a really good, they had the astrologist, and then obviously
Faulkner Park.
Yeah, and the Southport Tycoon.
Yep.
So they've had a really good year, and that could be just about to get a lot better at Flemington.
I think they might even possibly take him to the meteorite at Cranbourne, that slot race that's been in.
Well, he won the slot, so you would think there's good money on offer down there. And I mean, based on that performance, I don't think you're going to be, it's not a champion sprint field you're going to get in the meteorite.
Credit
to the Pakenham, or Southside Racing, Pakenham and Cranbourne Race Clubs for getting that together, but I don't think they're going to get a field that they're going to get at Flemington Champion Sprint Day. So Barrack Hill, there might be another $1 million on tape.
We're going to be there too on Cranbourne Cup Day, live streaming, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, if you are going to be there, just make sure you pronounce it Cranbourne, not Cranbourne.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a lot of issues with a lot of venues around Victoria. Kyneton, and I say Kyneton. How do you say Kyneton?
Kyneton.
Kyneton. Cool.
Yeah. You wait till you get up Shepparton Way and all the town names around there. Absolute bloody nightmare.
I think we're looking at the champs market too, aren't we?
Oh, we might as well look at
it. Yeah, there it is. So it's coming together beautifully. Yeah. That's a hot race.
Yeah, it's going to be a ripper. Giga Kick definitely going there, and off the back of its Everest performance. So yeah, you've got the Quinella from the Everest going there, and you've got Estriella, who I think's a Group 2 horse. But she's sitting fourth. Overpass was terrific last week as well. And yeah, Barrack Hill, $10. Based on that run, I'd probably have a tickle at $10. Let's have a look now at the Crystal Mile, because Plenty of Ammo, impressive win. And the money came for Plenty of Ammo.
Yep. I remember, so we was one of the bets in our punter's pot, which went very well. It was a great day. And about half an hour before the race, the boys were talking about it. Like, yeah, it's sort of drifting out a bit. 20 minutes later, we checked back and like, wow, the boys said, wow, they just smashed this Plenty of Ammo. It was one of the biggest goes of the day, and saluted well. Here you can see us.
So you're getting
watch
up and
us.
About.
Look at that. Is that good riding?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. She's another late bloomer, though. Like, she's a six-year-old. She didn't win a race or have a start until she was, a rising five-year-old, so a bit over a year ago. Her record, 6 wins from 7 starts or 5 wins from 7 starts? The only flop she's had, I think it's 5 wins in a second, and she finished 8th on debut over 1,100. So, and obviously she wants, you know, she's looking 1,600 metres or more. So an unsuitable distance. She is certainly one to watch going forward, and that performance just showed that.
Yeah, so she's going to go to the Empire Rose. I was listening to Trav Noonan, as I always like to do. Trav said that Simon Wild's never had a Group 1 winner, but he's pretty confident that this will be his first one. So there is the Empire Rose market. She's pretty high up. Orchestral at the top there. I was just thinking to myself before we came on air, I think it seems a bit short to me, Orchestral, but it's a nice looking field. Tissue, Amelia's Jewel would be my pick.
Amelia's Jewel, I love Amelia's Jewel. We discussed this last week, but I just don't think she's up to Group 1 standard. And,
but this is Group 1 mares. This isn't Group 1 weight range open.
I mean, you say Simon Wild's never won a Group 1. Surprised that. He's had some good horses. Yeah. Been unlucky, I think, over the journey, Simon Wild. But yeah, that's not a bad field for the Empire Rose. It's just another good race on a great race day. And we see plenty of them over the spring. Hey, the Derby. Well, as we know, there was talk over Broadside heading to the Derby. That would have made the headlines.
Price do you reckon if they had committed, what price do you think it would have been?
$1.50.
That short?
Yeah.
I was thinking more evens, but...
Nah, it's got just, a massive... He's a far better horse.
Yeah, but it's 2,500 metres.
Yeah, like, I agree, but you'd sort of think he would run the trip. Yeah. Because if you look... We might have seen the Derby winner on the weekend, whether it was Al Castello in Sydney winning the champions, the spring champion with 2,000 metres. But he's not bred to go 2,500. But, I mean, as we've seen with the Fast Networks Rocks this spring, they aren't either. Red Ace is by done deal. So he's win on the weekend. The interference here, you can see, I was on Red Aces, so I was watching intently through my wallet. I thought... that this win was one of a really tough dour effort, and that's what you want in the Derby. I don't think it's not going to be as high a rating race as what the Spring Champion was, but like I say, the breeding would suggest that Red Aces is probably more a 2,500 meter horse than Al Castello. But gee, there's big raps on Al Castello before the weekend. Yeah. It was a pretty good win.
It was a really fighting win. I liked Henlane, who ran second. Henlane goes to the paddock. I've been following Henlane through the spring. It looks like it'll be a great chance in the derbies and stuff in the autumn. What else came out of the race? So I was listening to Brad Bishop. He was saying that he thought Tenbury Wells was a good bet, about $17. We're going to see the market in a second. And the other solid run in the race up in Sydney was Harlem Queen. and she'll go on to the Oaks. Why don't we get the market up for the Derby? There it is.
There we go, El Castillo. And I didn't make an error. El Castillo not by Fast Net Rock, by Casa Vecchio, but the dam is a Fast Net Rock dam. So okay. there's not a great deal of staying pedigree on either side. Casa Vecchio, I think, only ever won at never won beyond 2,000 metres. But yeah, $3 El Castillo, $6 Red Aces. Keeneland at $9, I think, shown a bit as well as a staying prospect. But the Derby, you never really know until well after the Derby as to whether they're any good, because it's a tough ask to ask a 3-year-old to run 20, well, to ask an early season 3-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, these are...
They're running Golden Slipper 6 months ago.
Yeah. Like. You get the Derby, the ATC Derby, when they're, you know,
yeah,
three
and a half, six
it's a bit different.
Yeah.
This is, you know, they've only turned 3 2 months ago.
Yeah, and the other one, Firm Agreement from the Annabel Nation, Rob Archibald. Yard, we've been following it pretty closely because we've been doing the Annabelle set, and it was great. It ran third in the spring champion, so it's a $15 looks a pretty nice price. I don't actually know if they're definitely running it or not, but I feel they would. I think that
you'll get the triple crown,
and they'll want to have a Derby runner. So I will get the mail. Yeah,
you will. Tune in when you do. When's that show?
Wednesday we drop. It's been hugely popular. The breakout show of the spring. It's been fantastic.
Big day for quality racing shows on Wednesday with Dad and Moody on the mic coming out as well.
Two big shows in racing. Yeah.
How do people get through it? What a Thursday that people have when they
That's
just
right.
roll
it's
into those
dip. It's just a big dip.
That. Unbelievable. Hey, what else was unbelievable? Double market in the Phillies Classic on the weekend. Now, I say this to people. The Hayes boys are the best tippers. In terms of trainers who will tip you in a winner, the Hayes boys are great judges. JD pretty much declared this thing on Thursday on the radio. Ben on Saturday morning backed that right up. And if you had heard either of those interviews and didn't back Double Market, you are an idiot.
Yeah.
And Ben also tipped into Acromantula in race one, which set up a very nice putting day for Dodger.
Yeah.
But Double Market, it was a very impressive
big part of why you had a successful day on Saturday.
Very
right?
big part of why I had a successful day on Saturday. In fact, I probably should send a couple of slabs up to Lindsay Park.
Will Hayes was tipping winners. There was a racing lunch. I think it might have been the Emerald Hotel or something.
Would make sense.
And he tipped it to the whole joint, and they all got up and cheered it. Won at $3.50 or something. So
yeah, incredible.
Airborne. Good on him.
$5.50. But yes, this is a horse they've had a very high opinion of as a 2-year-old. Just sort of taken a while to get things going. But now she's 2 from 2, and she'll head to the 1,000
guineas
now. So obviously
we've got
that's
the market
later
for
on
that.
In the spring that it used to be. And you know, where is she in the market? $15.
Yeah, it's a wide open.
It is. It's $9 the field.
Yeah.
15 off the back of that win, and given that how highly they rate her, I might just duck. Where's my phone?
you jump out. I'll take over things. But Certain Rise won the Crockett, another Yulong horse. It was pretty impressive. Talked about maybe it going to 1,000 guineas, but they've tipped it out and they'll bring it back. Blake Shin said after the race, he thought something like this around stakes would be a great race for her. So she was impressive. We also want to touch on that. But it's not the strongest guineas by a long way, and it's wide open. The market will change a hell of a lot between now and when they race in, what is it, just under 3 weeks? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Something like that.
Yep.
Always hard, but the way they reprogram the spring is a bit confusing.
It feels
I sort
good.
Of know it's
good.
It off the back of your hand there for so long, and now it's like you've got to get used to it again.
But
it's
good. It just
I agree
goes a bit longer.
A
I like
better
it. Yeah.
As well. Mm. Hey, we've sort of alluded to it all along, the ratings report. We need to check in with Dan O.
We do.
Because the ratings report is all important from the weekend. And if we can whack up the graphic now, Trail Mint. And
wow.
That is the biggest number we've seen this spring.
So is that... So Via Sistine has come up at 116. And I know because I read his tweet that Winx only ever went as high as 115.5.
Off the back of her second Cox Plate, I think. So she ran a 113, 115.5, 110, 111 in her four Cox Plates. And I think Black Caviar, from what he was saying on radio this morning, Black Caviar at 118 was the highest rating he ever gave.
Okay.
So this
is
the second. This
is
the second highest rating he's ever given. So that's a huge tick for Via Sistina. And number two, no great surprise either.
Barrack Wheel. So he says that Barrack Wheel was 103.7, backed up by Troy Corson's comments that he'd been working like a Group 1 horse. He ran fast time with a fast finishing speed. Bella Nipotina ran 103.5 to win the Everest. Our sprinting ranks have been crying out for new blood to emerge, and Barrack Wheel has announced himself with this performance. Fantastic.
New blood, you generally think, is a 3-year-old, though, and Barrack Wheel's 6.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
We'll see how much, but, you know, he's it's like when a late bloomer, like he might race till he's nine because he's done nothing for the first few years because of injury. Hey, Belclair 101. Now that was a new peak on her previous mark at 97.
That was an invitation, of course, at Randwick.
Yeah, also Randwick, Lindemann and 98, 97.5 for on Noah Star. So that were the top five ratings of the day. But interestingly, the 3 year olds headed to the Derby, El Castello 97, rated in the Group One Spring Champion, and Red Aces was only a 92.6 in the Group Two bars. So we'll see what they...
It's a long way from what Via Sistina ran,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah. And
really puts it in perspective, doesn't it?
But the Derby winners, I mean, the only two decent Derby winners we've had in the last decade, I think. Well, one of them was Riff Rocket last year, and he's unfortunately no longer with us. And the other one, whose name escapes me, was the Aussie Kirk owned Kieran Maher trained, who got retired after injury as a 3 year old. So.
Got me there.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember the name, and I'm sure the people listening and watching will either be yelling at the screen right now or jumping on Racing Australia and looking it up. But it was about, I think it was the 2021 Derby. Anyway, hey, let's move on to Stewards in 60.
Stewards Room Speed Round.
Stewards in 60 might as well be Stewards in 30 today. Very quiet from a horse performance point of view. A couple of suspensions to come from the Valley. Race 1, Daniel Moore, cop 10 metres, careless riding. Jordan Childs in race 8, cop 10 meetings for careless riding. In the $5 Prelude up in Sydney, that was race 9. Osipenko was well in the market, about a $9 pop. She ran 6 lengths, second last, and was subsequently found to be two-fifths lame in the off 4. So if you did your money on Osipenko, that's why. And that is this week's Stewards in 37 seconds.
Cook the book.
Our favourite segment here on .com and the Den Mondays, it is Cook the Book. It's been a bloody tough spring for the punters, but Kings, I know you were keen on Via Sistina. We saw that on the Wolf Den stream. Tommy, I know individually you certainly were. I was as well. There was $6, I think, around it at some point just before the jump. Kings, did you have a fill-up?
I doubled down a bit on Via Sistina because I actually handled the race from a betting perspective pretty poorly. I took 420 and 440 on Friday thinking that she'd run favourite, and I messed that up odds-wise, got the right result. But once she got out to the $5.50, $6 mark, I reloaded and had a really good result. But we saw Pride of Jenny was smashed in the morning on Saturday by a very well-respected professional syndicate, and she came in from $5 into about $384 mark, and that sort of pushed the runners out. But I was surprised Via Sistina got out to such a good price. I never thought it was possible.
And Tommy, Via Sistina, from a Ladbrokes point of view, there was obviously the drama in the from the Tuesday on, and there was money for a post barrier draw even after that drama. How did it end up by the time the race jumped? What sort of a result was she for Ladbrokes?
Now, Via Sistina was probably surprisingly a massive result for the Ladbrokes book. I think the trading team at Ladbrokes deserve a lot of credit here. It was the horse that they had identified as the horse that should be favoured in the race. We had it pegged as our horse to beat. So we've kept it very, very safe throughout while we were happy to take on a horse like Prognosis, who was ended up running the favourite. But in terms of the final result of the Cox Plate, it's almost been a $1 million winner for the book, Via Sistina. She was our second best result in the race. The only better result in the race for us was Docklands. But the big horse that it shows that the weight that casual money can have in these feature races. I don't think there was a single pro punter or a sharp that talked about Mr. Brightside in the lead up to this Ladbrokes Cox Plate, but the sheer volume of recreational money, and it was comfortably our worst result in the race. We know it's a popular horse and punters got around it. It was going to be a $1.8 million loser for the book. So that took up a fair chunk of the hole there. We had broadsiding as a losing result for us as well. And even though we were happy to take on Prognosis, we were top of the market for basically the entire lead up. It still would have been a small winning result for us.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. There was a big plunge, race 8, plenty of ammo, plenty of money coming for her. Was the money coming at Ladbrokes, Tommy, or was it coming elsewhere?
No, it definitely came with Ladbrokes. The Wolf Den boys had that as one of their best bets in the pot, and punters across the board. It was absolutely truckloaded late. When we were doing the live stream, we were sort of looking at the liability for the race, and it was getting in the sort of 5 minutes before the race, that liability on plenty of ammo just absolutely, it basically tripled. So we ended up losing half a million dollars on that race, and it meant that basically at that stage of the day at the Valley, punters and the bookies, we went in basically to the Cox Plate even.
Kingsway, well, as we've just heard from Tommy, Wolfden boys were keen on plenty of ammo. Individually, was that one that you'd identified, and was it a result for you?
No, I didn't back plenty of ammo. Dream Team Matt's best bet of the day was plenty of ammo, which on Thursday, because we all picked one for the pot, and that was his pick, which he did exceptionally well. But when I went and had a look at plenty of ammo, I said, let's dive into this pretty early because the horse had a lot of upside, only had six starts, and sort of it was, if I had to pick one firmer, I've got a score on my form that is nothing about form. It's about what I think the punters will gravitate towards or what I think is going to firm in the race. And it was by far, far the biggest for that upside sort of factor, which a lot of punters gravitate towards. I backed Nugget, but I waited on the price on Nugget and took about $6.50 or $7 and reduced my bet because Nugget was so easy, which I thought Nugget would be easy, and he was.
So we'll go to the last race now, and Firestorm was identified by a lot of tipsters as one of their best bets of the day, and then Lady Jones comes out of nowhere and wins at double figure odds. I'd imagine that not only was a huge swing for Ladbrokes, but also would have knocked out a heap of multis and also quaddies.
Yeah, it definitely did, Rog. It was a massive swing Firestorm. So Firestorm, was that to be a losing result of over $300,000 for us? Well, Lady Jones ended up being a winning result of over $500,000. So it's a fairly substantial swing there. And on the back of Via Sustina being such a big result for us in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, it did mean that the book did finish in front in Melbourne once again this weekend.
What sort of numbers are we talking about, Tom? Because like we said, it's been a tough spring for punters, been a great spring for Ladbrokes. We've mentioned that the Christmas party's been upgraded to a new facility. We know they're building a new wing on the offices there in Brisbane. And I do understand you're also getting a private jet along with all the other big wigs at Ladbrokes. So what are the numbers we're talking out of Saturday in the Valley?
Yeah, we're not talking private jet money just yet, but it was another in Melbourne. It was a 1.5, basically $1.5 million winning day, and then in Randwick, it was a tough day for the punters as well. The book finished in front in eight of the 10 races, so it's been a spring that definitely has been in the bookies' favour, and it'd be interesting to see how Melbourne Cup Carnival goes. Normally, that is the time where the book does do some of its best work. The Melbourne Cup Carnival can be tricky for punters, but it'll be interesting to see how the fact that the spring has been so tough for the punters does impact Melbourne Cup Carnival turnover. And you never know, these things, it does go in swings and roundabouts. So maybe this is the year that the punters really give us a whipping for the Melbourne Cup Carnival.
It does swing around. It's been a tough spring for me, and I finally got it back on Saturday, some of it anyway. Hey, Kings, the Wolf Den, we mentioned the pot, and we mentioned it was a big day for Ladbrokes, but the win came for Wolf Den and the Punters Club. It was a good day for you guys as well.
Yeah, we returned 20%. I think the starting bank was around our 80,000. We finished with 110, but which was good, but we had Firestorm going in the last. We took 365 Firestorm for 10,000. We had a $5,000 multi at over $18 with plenty of ammo. And we also had four horses going in the quaddie. We put 8,000 into a quaddie and had four horses in the last, which we missed the lady. It was 650 out to about $16 in the end. So while we won, it was great, but it could have been a fat day. So onwards and upwards, happy to come out unscathed and show that profit as well. But yeah, it was disappointing. Surprise coming in Adelaide race eight as well, which got me to Pimple, was very disappointing as well. So Via Sustina saved us, plenty of ammo saved us, but it was a lot of fun, and hopefully everyone who got involved had a bit of entertainment and showed a small profit.
Just on surprise coming in the last race in Adelaide, we're speaking to the trading team earlier. It ended up being potentially on the back of the Wolf Den push there in the final bet of the pot. It was going to be over a $600,000 loser at Morfordville on Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day, which would have been one of our worst results in the history of Adelaide racing. So it would have been quite stiff for the boys in the trading team if well, you do all the hard work on Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day, finish in front of the Valley, but the last at Morfordville is the one that does cause the damage. But it just shows the last favourites and the horses that are well backed in the last can really make or break the day from a bookmaking standpoint.
Just shows you boys can move a market, Kings. There's no doubt about that. Hey, we've got four massive race days to come, starting Saturday, Derby Day, Cup Day, Oaks Day, and then Champions Day. We don't have a show next week, but we'll be back with you guys in a couple of weeks to debrief on the carnival. And hopefully, Kings, hopefully we're talking about the punters finally getting some back.
I hope so. It's just sickening listening to these results, isn't it? $1.5 million on the last two races at the Valley. Jeez.
know. It's, I have to scroll up and, after every show.
A few of those photos, they just got to fall the punter's way eventually, I suppose. But it's just, it is hard to sort of win on the Saturdays. A lot of games, you got to back a lot of winners, which you did on Saturday, Rog. So well done.
Yeah, if Tom turns up to that show wearing a tuxedo and drives to the filming in a limousine, we'll know it's been another rough one for the punters.
As long as I'm finding a few winners as well on the way, Rog, that's happy days. Like, Via Sustainer perfect, was the perfect storm. The book won. I backed it. The boys backed it. That's what we want. Happy days.
Sneak peek.
All right, time to take a look at, well, not next week, it's this week. We've got to fix that by the time next season comes around, Rich.
But before we do, like a good co-host, I went to Google while you were doing Cook the Book. Hitotsu was who you're looking for.
Hitotsu. Yeah, it could have been anything. I think they even wanted to look at a Japan Cup with Hitotsu. Mm. But injury crueled its career as well. All right. This week, of course, it is fabulous Flemington Group 1, one of the greatest race days on the Australian racing calendar. And I think that to whet the appetite, the first of them is the Coolmore.
Yeah, so we've got the Coolmore up there. We've already spoken pretty at length about the VSC Derby and also Empire Rose, so we won't touch on them again. But here's the Coolmore. And so the news overnight was Stormboy won't be going to the Coolmore. I think a little bit, they're running a little bit scared. I reckon they kind of want to protect him a bit from a stallion point of view. So they've tapped out of that. I think they want to really manage him and get him that group one.
Still don't think they're going to make their money back.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a long way off. Yeah.
They have to win a lot of races.
Yeah. But look, he could go to start at 50. If he won a group one, he'd probably go to start at 50, 60,000. Then if he's a good start,
it's irrelevant. Your racetrack performance only really dictates your first 3 years.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, here's the market for the Coolmore. I think it's a fantastic race. Growing Empire dominated things. Traffic Warden reports how it's going fantastic. Yep. Switzerland going really well. Bellatrix Star, the first of the filly. So brilliant race. Really looking forward to that. That'll be the race of the day on Saturday for sure. Should we roll on and see what else we've got to look for? So there it is. I'll quickly talk to you if you want.
Well, the way forward, 2,000 metres for filly. So that's the pointer towards the Oaks. So yep. The winner, or usually a couple of those, will then back straight up onto the Thursday, sort of 5 days later.
That's right. Oaks. And the interesting one from that, I feel, is Powers of Opal, John Sargent, trained horse. Absolutely pissed in at Hawkesbury a couple of starts, but it looked like it just could have kept going all day. J-Max riding it, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes. The Damien Oliver, the 1,400-metre race, this is interesting. Jimmy Star and Another will go head-to-head in that race.
Oh, so Jimmy Star's on its way toward the
Rupert Clark.
So, and it's been in terrific form. Yeah. I wonder what the market will be for that one. Rising Fast 1,200 metres.
You've got a personal interest in this Rising Fast 1,200-metre race, don't you? With Schwartz?
Oh, Schwartz, yes. Well, Anthony Mithen, the Victorian Breeders Alliance, they've been screaming for a... Speaking of stallions, like that's what they're buying these high-priced, you know, yearlings, and they just got to get Group 1, so then they stand at stud at Rosemont Stud. Anthony Mithen, my co-host, I'll meet you on the mic. Well, I'll tell you what, if Schwartz wins a Group 1, he'll be the banner horse of this, but
Your life will be miserable.
We might have to stop the podcast. I'm not sure we can handle it if he gets a Group 1 home, but... There's a long way to go there, but the Rising Fast would be a good pointer. But the Schwartz does look like a really good horse, John O'Shea train.
Yeah, it does. No, I'm looking forward to that. And of course, we've got the Golden Eagle, the $10 million race, where all the best 4-year-olds in the country will be there in that race. Really looking forward to that. We've got the international horses as well, which dominate up the top
Japan
of the market.
Japan will go back to back.
Yeah, but I know we're about to close out, but I just do want to remind everyone that we're doing a live stream on Friday night. You were talking about your Moody on the Mic podcast. Tom Hackett was in our live stream over the weekend. He was a star again. He's brilliant. And
on our podcast, so he might as well just to get the stardom somewhere. I mean, he's certainly not the star on that. But
really? No. Yeah, every time I listen to him, I find him the most insightful. So.
Oh, I didn't say he wasn't the most insightful. Right. But we're about entertainment.
He's a bigger star than Moody.
Oh, well, he's the boss of Ladbrokes. So.
Sure. Well, apparently. So that means he's your boss, right? That means he's my boss.
Is there any podcast or stream that Tommy Hackett's not on?
he's available. But he was great. And... I don't think we will see him again this Friday night. We're doing a live stream from the Valley. And for a bit of fun, we're going to make it a bit of a Saturday set style. So in the actual Saturday set that we drop on Thursday, we're going to do 4 races from Flemington, which is what we normally do. But there's still 6 more races. They'll all be group races because every race on Derby Day is a group day. So in the live stream on Friday night, when we are at the Valley, we will be betting on the Valley. But we'll also do a bit of a live Saturday set where we'll unpack those 6 big races from Flemington. And of course, because of the comments and whatnot, you guys can throw your 2 cents in as well. So it'll be a bit of fun. Perfect thing to do before we have a massive Saturday.
Yeah. And you've got to get as much content from the den as you possibly can because we're not going to be around next Monday.
No.
The
Monday after.
No, we'll be around the Monday after.
No, we won't.
Are we not? Didn't even tell me, Rich. Yeah. Got to clear my calendar.
We come back. We will be back for the season finale after 1,000 Guineas Rupert Clark Day. So we're taking 2 weeks off. Myriad of different reasons, but it's just the way it has to be.
Okay, I'll book in for a massage on that Monday instead. In it goes. Thanks for that. No, it should be a great carnival. I can't wait to get out there. In fact, I'm going to Flemington right now.
You are. Thank you for the support. See you soon.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.